I'm going to read this morning from the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. The final message in this series is the day of the beast. Throughout this series, we have reached back into the past and showed God's design and pattern to judgment. Three distinct give-ups God has given to every civilization. They knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and He gave them up to an unclean spirit. From that, it downgraded downward. When they refused to glorify Him as God, they had to do something about His book. So the Bible says in Romans 1 and 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And for that reason, God gave them to that perverted spirit. First, a perversion in the pulpit, and then that homosexual spirit and lesbianism that curses a nation today came out as a give up of God. He's not going to judge us because of that. That is the judgment of God. And the plague of AIDS comes out of that community. From that awful boldness and arrogance of the powers of darkness to tamper with the Word of God, change that truth to a lie, they reached a point they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. The antediluvians. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. And for that cause, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are unseemly. Those awful things that you see. We have witnessed as we've categorized and step by step followed the pattern to judgment. That immediately following the reprobate mind came the judgment. And our conclusion is that we've passed the unclean. We've passed the homosexual. We've passed the reprobate mind. And a world waits on judgment. That judgment that came with the flood. God said there'll not be another flood. This world will not be destroyed by water again. The judgment is the great tribulation. That will be the judgment of God on the ungodly, on the Christ rejecting. They are those that are trying to put us through that tribulation. You have those that have come again in the end of this age to say that the church must pass through the great tribulation. I know that in the world Jesus said you'll have tribulation. And He said also that through much tribulation you'll enter into the kingdom. But you have to define what He called tribulation and the great tribulation. The great tribulation, the tribulation, is the wrath of God poured out upon an ungodly world. Just as it was the judgment of God on Sodom and Gomorrah was the fire that fell there that burned and destroyed the inhabitants of Sodom. Amen. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The righteous people were removed before God poured His fire out on Sodom. He wasn't mad at them. And so it was, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Before it ever rained a drop, before the lightning ever flashed, God Almighty put Noah and his family in that ark. Now the judgment of God, we're past. We're in a time of a reprobate mind that rules in this nation. We're moving toward a 7-year rule of the beast and the judgment of God poured out. And before that judgment of God is poured out, the church is going to be at the marriage supper. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The rapture is imminent. Jesus is coming. And the wrath of hell is going to be poured out. The wrath of God is going to be poured out. And so we stand on the threshold of what I've called the day of the beast. Reading here in the 13th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You notice a description of this beast in the 13th chapter. He said he had a face like a leopard. He was like a bear. He was like a lion. Now, if you move into the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, you'll find that this age ends in a tripod of nations. There's that lion, that eagle featured, that was that lion with wings like an eagle that was plucked. Now everybody knows that the lion is a symbol of the British Empire. That great empire that when I was a boy, the sun never set on its territories, has been reduced to a mini place in Europe today. That bear rose up on one side, amen, with 3 ribs in its mouth. No problem recognizing that bear. Russia never rose up, never fought a battle in the east and won, but never lost one in Europe. Rose up with its back to the mountains, facing Europe with 3 ribs in its mouth, and was given a command to devour much flesh. The leopard, I've heard a lot of speculation, but I have to believe that it is America, because of many things I'll not have time to go into on it. But no nation ever so agile as this nation. And the one thing about it, Daniel said, world dominion was given to it. Nobody took it away. It gave it up. It never had the will to stand. Vietnam broke our will, and we've continually withdrew and a lower profile. The American mind is not capable today of standing up against the forces that are against us. And when a great nation refuses to protect its interest anywhere in the world, then that nation is on its way out. There's a demise, but it had to be, because it makes way for the fourth kingdom that Daniel saw, and that was of the Antichrist. But when that Antichrist beast emerged in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, it emerged as a conglomerate of the leper, the bear, and the lion. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. No matter how much you love this nation, how great it is, and what a home it's afforded, it will be a part of that Antichrist system. America is not Christian. America has been a nation whose God was the Lord, but it is not way anymore. There is temples to Buddha and Islam and Moonies and the Krishnas. They've all come to infiltrate and become a part of the great thicket of this nation. But that beast, that his day has arrived. He's about to take over through the centuries. God has said there'd be a 7-year period when this system of the world would be turned over to the rule of the Antichrist. The day of the beast has arrived. I was just listening to some tapes on the New Age Brother Bobby Shambach had given me. On the way over, it said they have now a computer chip that will interface with the human brain. You know what that's saying? They can put that chip into the human brain, And you can become automatically a law student because all the laws of America are there. They have arrived at the point where total control of the human is possible. All it awaits at this point in time is the beast himself to rise up out of the sea of people and take over the machinery that has already been prepared. I'll show you that the Spirit has already come. I believe that you and I live in a day that the beast is about to be revealed, but it cannot be revealed until the church has been removed. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Never been a time when the people of God needed to know what's taking place any more than right now. We need to be instructed. The Bible said we are not children of darkness that day overtake us unaware. And it's not the physical signs that really are telling us of the coming of the Lord. There's been earthquakes. There are more of them. There's been wars. There are more wars. These things are signs, but nothing so tells it like the spirit of this age. The six tapes that we have back there on the end time deal with the attitudes and spirits just as we have now. And we can recognize where we are by the fact that homosexuality is a way of life. We've legalized that perversion. So that says the reprobate mind rules. Immediately following that came the judgment. This time it's not a flood, it's a tribulation. That's the judgment of God Almighty. I know there's a lot of preachers want to put me there. Go there if you like. But the Bible says that he's going to get us out. Not to protect us from the devil. He give us power over all the power of the devil. We're not running from the devil. He's just going to move us out of here like he moved Lot out of Sodom to pour the fire out. Took Noah out of there on that boat so the flood could come. His wrath can't come until I'm gone. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, what a day we live in. What a day the church lives in. I said to the people on a Monday, a banker heard me on television, was on live. We have an hour and a half broadcast at home, and sometimes we're live, and he said to me, I heard you last night speaking about the Middle East, Iran, and that's a part of the Persian Empire, almost joined with Russia, and that now that she's pointed that Red Army toward Israel, there'll be no turning back until the world has experienced the Third World War. And your description of that war was frightening, yet you appear to be a happy man. How can you be happy when the world's about to be tore up? I said, that's your world, Mr. Banker, not mine. Thank God, mine's are coming into existence. Oh, no. I'm not of this world. Can you say amen? This world's not my home. I can promise you there'll never be a missile land on the streets of that city John saw. Thank God there'll be no atomic blast there. There'll be no sin there. There'll be nobody out there with a crowbar trying to dig up that gold. Everything that makes it there is going to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our world. I'm just telling you, you need to recognize where we are, that you may not be careless in these end times. The Antichrist is going to be manifested in the near future. I believe he's alive on this earth now, waiting in the wings. He'd like to take over while we're here, but he can't. Amen. We've got our job to do. We may go home. We may have supper in heaven. I don't know. But I'm telling you, the Antichrist is about to be revealed. There were some things that had to take place before the day of the beast could come. Number one, the world mind had to be conditioned for a world government. Never could take over until that happened. That mind had to be conditioned. The very fact of a conspiracy in this world is obvious to every thinking person. You don't have to be smart to know that there is a mind released in this world, that there is a conspiracy. Its footprints can be traced back through history to the first rebellion against God, when Lucifer, because of pride, wanted to occupy the place that God has reserved for the church. Can you say amen? Thank God he said we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Christ is going to sit on the throne of this universe. Now, in judicial terms, joint heir means that he can never sit there without the church being with him, the bride. Now, what hell is after, and what he was after then, is the place that God had ordained that Christ and his church would occupy. So Lucifer rebelled against God, He and his followers were cast out, and in that moment, listen, in the fall of Lucifer, a mind was released that was tireless in the extreme. And the object of that mind is world domination. World domination. That's the whole effort of that Antichrist system. That spirit that was released, amen, world domination, to reach this object. The devil has worked behind the scenes through front organization. And I'm not a bit apologetic when I say to you that every major upheaval in history can be traced directly to a satanic conspiracy. There's never been a time when this earth wouldn't produce enough to feed every human being on this earth. The universal entropy, that is zero population and energy conservation, is sold by hell to make you believe that God's gone out of business. No, no. This universe wasn't created in a moment. It's been created, much of it. But they're finding new worlds all the time. And man, created in the image of God, is a creator. And if you make him believe his world is diminishing, then you can capture that man and make a slave out of him. I remember when that world mind said that we're running out of timber in the United States, but the National Geographic made its study and said there's more timber in America today than there was when George Washington lived here. We're not running out of oil. And if we were, the nuclear energy can run this world now on, whether we like it or not. Man is a creative being. If you don't believe it, look at them automobiles out there. He is made in the image of God. And it's the devil's business to destroy that thought in him. He wants to make him God one way or another. He'll make him a slave or sell him a lie that he's more than he is. One way or the other, he snares him. But that mind can be traced through history. Paul wrote that in the past eternities, in the council of the Godhead, there was decreed that there'd be an elect people that the rulership of the universe would be vested in. So John wrote in Revelation 3 and 23, to him that overcometh will I give to sit with me in my throne. Not your throne, his throne. That we would rule with him. That's what he said. Even as my Father has given me to sit with him in his throne, the overcoming believers in this age are going to sit with him in the rulership of this universe. Amen. Now, the Bible said everything was made for Christ, by Christ, and that the church, which is the main object of his inheritance, is a joint heir, which means that we're going to equally share. Now the devil knows that God's program is through man. So his effort is to capture man. Totally capture man. The devil knows that the programs always work. In eternity, before there ever was a man, God decreed this, that he would be made known in this universe through man. Not verbally, but by men that were conformed. And the word man is a comprehensive term, means mankind, male and female, the whole of the human race. And that through them, God would be made known. Now the devil knows it. So down through the ages, you see the Pharaohs, the Hamans, the Hitlers, raised up by the devil in an effort to eliminate God. That's the humanistic thing that we have today. That's the reason that you have the evolution pushed in the schools. It is not a scientific fact. There's no facts to it. But yet the devil pushes it in that humanistic philosophy because they're saying that man is evolved. And the one that evolves the furthest ought to be God. And that man himself becomes a God. When he can't sell him the other line, he'll sell him. The Mormons are the God makers. They are part of an occult system in this world. Amen. But there is today the whole humanistic philosophy taught in our schools that man himself is his own God. And evolution falls right into line with that, folks. Amen. Because man believing that he's evolving toward. So Buddhism, the Maitreya, the man that claims to be the Christ, that's about ready to come back that has this new age movement in this world. He claims to be the Buddha after 500 reincarnations or something like that. There is this, you see, the incarnation of man being taught on the devil's level that man is constantly evolving into the divine image. When you hear talk about a world government, then you know that the whole thing is to do away with God and the church. When it talks about world church, world government, amen. The idea behind a world government is to destroy the church, the born-again believer, because the devil's effort is to destroy him that is to rule. Can you say amen? I said his whole effort is to destroy him that is to rule. That's the reason wherever we go and really preach the gospel, there's going to be opposition. The devil don't mind religion, folks. It is Christ that he's afraid of. When Paul, you have in the book of Acts, that the apostle Paul went certain places, stayed a certain length of time, and he preached unto them what? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know what he was saying? The kingdom of God has come here. It's in me. And I've come. And those that I rescue are a part of that kingdom. In other words, hell knew it had been invaded. That they'd come. Listen, it'd come the one that is to rule. And the very fact that there's one born again believer that has escaped the axe of hell tells you that he's a defeated foe. He can't win. Amen. Long as there's one left, thank God he's defeated. All through the Old Testament, his effort was to prevent the coming of the one that is to rule. Christ reduced it at one time till there was only one left in the lineage of the royal family. Only one. Amen. That's all. Had brought it down to one. But listen, he's still defeated unless he kills that one. You hear me, ladies and gentlemen? Hell is out to destroy the believer. Because they are the ones as the one new man to rule with Christ, you see. When Paul arrived, immediately hell set out to kill him. Because they knew the enemy had invaded. We're good friends with the Canadians. Amen. We get along good, I think. But if they run a troop across there into Michigan, they'd meet some hard-nosed Marines up there. We wouldn't take to that kindly. And if you think hell is going to take kindly to this tent being here in the middle of one of the most wicked cities on earth, we sit here saying the kingdom of God has come. You got to move back. We're not only going to rule this spot, but there's going to be a day when every inch of this universe we're going to rule. That's the reason I don't have to be greedy. That crowd's accounting my money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Thank God, just wait on him. I said, just wait on it. It's all going to fall in place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. John said in his day that many antichrists had gone out. Now, John saw the spirit of this lawlessness in his day. Now, through the ages, the vessel through which the devil has worked has changed, but behind the scenes, it's been the same enemy. The same enemy. Always. Listen, for the past 2 centuries, the devil has worked mainly through the money changers. The world bankers, they say, we don't care who makes the laws, give us control of the money, and we'll control that nation. And it's been through the money changers, the rich of this world. Kind of strange when the richest banker in this country takes a vacation, he goes to Russia, the people's paradise. That tells you something going on. I was in France preaching to the French preachers, and a Frenchman asked me, did I know what the nationality of Adam and Eve were? And I said, well, Edenites, I guess. He said, no, they were Russians. I said, well, I don't understand that. He said, well, it's very obvious. He said, they had one apple between them, no clothes on their back, no roof on their head, and they called it paradise. I said, I believe you're right. But you see, the whole working through the centuries has been this spirit. I don't care what it calls itself. It doesn't make any difference what it calls itself. It's the same Antichrist beast spirit reaching for domination of this earth. And down through the centuries, that spirit has moved. It's called by this. It's called by that. Amen. It never had a closer ally than the occult that Hitler brought in called Nazism. Amen. Never as the Antichrist ever produced more of a type of himself than there. In 10 years, Hitler turned a great industrial nation into barbarians. Amen. With Goebbels as his false prophet, he as the beast himself, he captured the animal instinct of those humans by making craft prosper among the worst depression the world ever known. And Goebbels turned the religious attention away from God to the worship of the new state and goose-stepped them to hell, an entire nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that's just a forerunner, but it's a game that men play as to the beast that's about to come on the scene of this world. If you're not ready to meet God, you may not be ready to meet an Antichrist, but you're going to meet him head on in a world that'll make what's taking place now look like a holiness camp meeting. Now, when the devil reached out, that mind in its extreme, tireless, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John wrote concerning the world government that's coming, and the leader, he said he'd hold power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand forehead, and no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the number. Behind every major upheaval has been this evil mind moving untiringly, amen, reaching for dominion of the world. Every war, every depression, in the 6th century, it came under the title of Islam. Muhammad, he is like that rolling buck hoax. There's some phony Gabriel out there that came to Muhammad and gave him the Quran. Gave him all of the Quran. He said that the angel that came and talked to him and gave him that message was named Gabriel. Introduced himself. Roland Buck said it's a Gabriel that gave him that angel's own assignment. But he received that. And from there, in the 6th century, almost overrun the world. From that Middle East, he crossed the Pyrenees Mountains into Europe and was stopped there. And the only reason he was stopped is because it wasn't time for the beast to rule. That beast had took on the system of Islam. It overrun that defunct, overfat religious crowd. Amen. The priests that had got fat and enslaved the people. Amen. Just like Nebuchadnezzar overran Jerusalem, God allowed Islam to overrun that awful corruption that called itself Christianity in the 6th century. That Antichrist spirit of Islam is the greatest hindrance on the mission field today. Wherever you go in the world, the greatest hindrance is that spirit of Islam, that Antichrist spirit that almost took over in the 6th century. Amen. In the 12th century, it was the Khan. Amen. Kublai Khan. Never has it been. I've read everything I could find on this demon-possessed man. Listen, from just a boy in that desert hiding behind a bush, watched his village and people destroyed and swore that he would avenge them. And he rose from that desert wave to be the most feared man in the 12th century. Galloped those hordes over the Alps into Europe and at his command galloped them back. When he died, that funeral cordage traveled 2,000 miles to the black sands of the Gobi to bury him, and every eye that saw that coffin died. Every eye, the terror of that human being as he galloped across the earth, Antichrist. Antichrist, that spirit of the beast. Call it anything you want to, but it was that beast. But he went down because it wasn't time. I said it wasn't time for the beast rule. God, it's all in his hand. He's going to turn it over. And that beast is not going to take it over until the church is gone. He that lets will let. In the 12th century, amen, it looked like many times. And when Jesus was here, Herod was the agent in the killing of all those little children, striking at the child. Jesus killed everybody under 2 years old. Herod was the agent. But the devil and that evil beast mind was after him that is to rule. That family of Jesus, that family of new creation, hasn't come in to be Antichrist that John saw rise up out of the sea. And the only reason it didn't happen, it was not time. Wasn't time. I'm glad to tell you God's in control. I'm glad to tell you God never had any trouble with the devil. He could have twisted his neck and threw him in hell 6,000 years ago, but he has to serve the purpose of God. Amen. He gives me trouble, but he never has give God trouble as far as his personal. God is in control. He sets over the nation whom he will. As he said that to tell you, don't be afraid. Wicked rulers come and go to serve the purpose of God, because when that church begins, when that begins to be seduced by that world and her affections are turning away from Christ, then God reacts violently to that. He's a jealous God. It's a sin for you to be jealous, but God is a jealous God. And when that world begins to seduce his church, then there's a reaction on the part of God. Amen. In the political stratum, in the religious world, and everywhere. Every upheaval, history has no meaning, mister, apart from that bride. No meaning. No meaning whatever. Thank God. Listen, after the cons in the 17th century, there came the French Revolution, contrived and executed by the great conspiracy. It is intended for all of Europe. What happened in the French Revolution? If you read anything about it, there'd never been a greater horror story ever told and acted in reality than the French Revolution. Blood ran ankle deep in the streets as they plundered and rose up. It was intended for all of Europe under that mysterious thing that called itself the Illuminata. Doesn't matter what it's called. It doesn't matter. It's the same beast spirit. You and I don't have to get tangled up with all of their paraphernalia. We just need to know. John said that spirit was released. That mind was turned loose when hell was cast out. And it's untiring in the extreme. And in the 17th century, with the Napoleonic Wars and the French Revolution, all of it, it was intended for all of Europe. If it would have happened, Antichrist would have took charge of the earth in the 17th century. And the only thing that stopped it was a revival by God under John Wesley. That's all that saved Europe from that. Listen, the fact of revival is the greatest truth to you and I that the heavens do rule. Now, hell had it in its hand, but a revival brought in by an unknown man by the name of Wesley, it disrupted and wrecked the plans of hell and gave the earth 200 more years. Oh, hallelujah. The power of a real revival. I said the power of a real revival. There, listen, the only thing that saved it was a revival under Wesley. In the 20th century, the agents of Antichrist have become the international banker. Their first step, that they hope final step in the one world government to bring it about, was World War I. Listen to me. The international banker, what he hoped would bring about his one world government, was initiated at the turn of this century, World War I. Why war? Listen, for them to bring about that platform that says the Antichrist is coming in on a platform of peace. Isn't that right? The promise of peace is his way in. This is going to be his way in. How better to bring that about? There must be a universal cry of peace and a world war so terrible that every nation on earth will be ready for peace. Has to be a war so terrible that every nation is ready. War brings chaos, bankruptcy to even the winner. Amen. They wind up bankrupt. And then the mothers that lose their boys and the cities that are bombed, the hell that comes out of it. They hoped in World War I to initiate a war so terrible that the cry for peace would be so great that men would be ready for the one world government. Well, coming out of it, amen, it looked like that's the way it's going to be. Throughout the 19th century, from 1814 to 1914, the world as a whole was at peace. Such wars, our own civil war, the Franco-Russian war, the Japanese war, they were termed local, didn't affect the world. It was utterly unthinkable during those days that the Germans or the French or the Turks or the Americans, anybody else, would give up their sovereignty to a one world government. That's utterly unthinkable. And it also was utterly unthinkable that the population of those nations would go. And certainly the leaders of those nations weren't going to give away their power. All during that time, those bankers knew that there had to be such a cry for peace, so they'll create World War I. They maneuvered all of Europe into the Napoleonic Wars. Then the Congress in Vienna was to be the housing for their world government, exactly as the present United Nations is in New York. Amen. This was a format for the agents of Antichrist to employ and to gain their objective in the war of 1914. Of course, they had the same plan fail in 1814. They had the same plan fail them in 1814, but they're going to make sure that what caused it to fail then won't be now. They're going to make sure when World War I is over, there'll be no Tsar of Russia. He is the one stood in the way in 1814. And so the planners, the folks, the world bankers, the international money changers will make sure that there'll be no Tsar of Russia. So they financed Lenin, $20 million in gold. They financed the Bolshevik revolution that threw Russia into the communist camp. The same people have financed both sides all the way through. When World War I was over, the world was sick of war. The League of Nations was born, and it looked like world government was certain. Woodrow Wilson, the president of the United States, was jubilant over the fact, but the Congress turned it down. He is out of the country for 6 months. He died brokenhearted because America would not join. But do you think that mind would give up? Not at all, mister. It's reaching, grasping for domination of every man, woman, child on this earth. All kindreds, all tongues, all nations. It immediately began over again. Amen. With the loss of World War I, it began. The first came the Great Depression that was contrived by man. The automobile industry had just begun in this country. All this nation needed was money, and it could have flourished as it never had in its history, just like now with the technological explosion. Amen. How it exploded, it could have then. But the world money changers knew that the spirit had to be broken. And the proud American in his soup lines a mile long was seeing his world fold up, his bank closing, his money being destroyed. They were working hard on the mind and the spirit of America, mister. We've never been a 38th parallel in our work, our wars, until Korea. If a man wanted to fight with us, he better think twice before he fought, because when we quit, there's going to be an unconditional surrender on his part. We're not going to divide the spoil with the enemy. But then there came the Depression. Then World War II, a hammering on the heart, on the heels of it. Then came Korea. And then the racial strife. Hell maneuvered and worked the terrible racial strife in America that was fomented. Of course, there were inequities that needed to be worked out. But there was another mind in that also, that instead of bringing us together, would divide us with more hate than it was when it started. I'm talking about a mind of Antichrist. And he set himself to break the spirit of America. Because it can't be a world government as long as there's a force like this one on the outside of it. But with the Depression, World War II, Korea, with the terrible, terrible racial strife, then Vietnam, amen, then Vietnam, that all of it had its effect. And today we have many congressmen that are one-worlders, amen. Mr. Ford was a one-worlder. Mr. Carter was. Kefauver was the first one in the 50s, a man before his time. Kefauver, that ran for the presidency out of Tennessee, was one of them. Mr. McGovern, all of them, their mind is one world. They believe that peace, I'm not saying they're not sincere. They don't know that they've been duped by the Antichrist because they don't know nothing about hell. But they are believers that if America would disarm herself and lay down, play dead like Gandhi did, that everything would be all right. You have the Roman bishops in this country. And I want to tell you what I believe, whether you believe it or not, that the Roman Church has calculated that Russia's going to be the winner. That apostate system has been able to bend with every system of government on this earth. And that letter put out by the Catholic bishops was nothing but a demand that America disarm herself. Let me tell you, the only reason that Gandhi got by with that is because England had a conscience. If that skinny old man would have sat down in front of Hitler's panzer division, that tank could have run over him. And if you think the people that shot those 269 out of the sky a few weeks ago won't run over your grandmother, you're wrong. That's hell, mister. I said, that's hell. That's Antichrist. That's Beelzebub. He hates everything that's good on this earth. He hates your family. He hates your children. He hates your grandchildren. He hates it because you had something to eat this morning. He hates it because you got a house to live in. He hates it because you can drive a car. You better hear me this morning. You don't get out of here, you're going to face him head on, eyeball to eyeball. And I told you yesterday, he's not going to destroy you. That'd be wonderful if he just shoot you. He learned better. Amen. Oh no, with his system of mind controlling drugs, he'll make you like what you hate. Yes, sir. He'll make you love what you hate. Those mental institutions, all his playground to work on and to practice on. Amen. He'd just declare you sick and fix you up in one of them places, and he turns you loose, you'll be glad to espouse his message. Amen. Oh, don't you ever forget it. We're not dealing with some ignoramus. We're dealing with the most cunning divine mind ever come out of hell. Amen. You look at those that have ruled this earth. Hitler, Khan, all of them. I said to God, how come that they come out of common folks like us and yet rise to lord it over millions? He said, because the devil was their lord. For Hitler to live, for Khan to live, for Charlemagne to live, was for the devil to live. That's what you'll have on this earth, mister, when the Holy Ghost is gone as we know it now. Amen. When it's gone, you will witness. Listen, you will witness. Amen. To gain control of the earth, the agents of Antichrist knew that America had to be destroyed. They knew that. Listen. They knew America had to be destroyed. They had a 5-point program. Many things worked out underneath it, but they had a 5-point program, and you listen to me, in order to break the back of this great nation, number one, they must gain complete control of America's money system. That began with the income tax, a graduated income tax. That set the IRS as a Hitler that can come in, take your car, take anything you got. Amen. They can confiscate you. There's nothing on this earth more powerful than that system. Then the Federal Reserve System. That's not an American institution. It's not government. They print our money, then sell it to us at a rent. I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln, more than likely. He wasn't killed because of his freedom of the slaves. He is killed because he printed $300 million. Amen. That wasn't a part of all of this. He said, we don't have to sell bonds. If a nation can print bonds, it can print dollars. If we wasn't hooked up to that Federal Reserve System, we could be the wealthiest we've ever known to be. Amen. But that thing, we're paying, being bled to death by debt that ought to belong to the own American people. They had to gain control over the American money system. It has been done. Number two, they had to control the media. You know something? You are what you believe. You are what you believe. That's the reason that system, when it can, it'll stop this kind of preaching. It'll stop the kind you've been hearing out here tonight. I want to tell you something, folks. There's a religion in this country that it brackets your thinking. You can always tell a cult, it'll narrow its thinking. It'll believe Acts 2:38. Lock you in there. That's all you can go. You'll goose step to that, mister. Amen. You just grow hair and long dress and long sleeves and get this little deal here. Amen. Your mind not moved. I learned a long time ago, whatever restricts my thinking is of hell. God wants me to think. When the Holy Ghost picked up the Apostle Paul, he brought a unique man of history. Amen. Paul never had many big crowds. But I'm telling you, he's affected men for 20 centuries. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost found him, he found an unusual human. He brought to the perusal of that book, that Bible, a mind that could break out of the mold. It's hard for a Baptist to think out of a Baptist mold. Hard for an assembly of God to think out of that. Hard for an independent to think out of his. Independentism don't mean free. It means he may have been locked into a smaller world than somebody else. Who knows? Amen. Isn't that right? Oh, yes, I know by that kind of junk, folks. Interdenomination or non-denomination. It's all a hell can to bracket your thinking. But he brought to that mind, and when he began to preach that book, it was totally opposite of what the Roman church was preaching. But God had found a mind that could break out of that mold. Every revival has been ended whenever the devil could codify the believing of the revivalist, put a period behind it, and say there's nothing else. Amen. Put their bumper stickers up. The Baptist says you can't swim in that tongue-talking water. But you come along the Pentecostals and they say you can't swim any further than this. But God is saying that it's an expanding universe and the revelation of Christ should continue until we see him personally. Now, I'm not talking about getting outside of the Word of God. I'm talking about the revelation contained in this book. Amen. Revivals rest on the fact that I'm always seeing down the road. First time I met Abraham, 75 years old. Everybody else on Social Security. I mean, that old man's leaving the country. He said, where you going? Dad said, where you going, son? I don't know. He said, I'm going to a country I've never seen, but God's going to have to make me know when I get there. When I look where he built his first altar, he got halfway across it before he knew he was there. Amen. 75 years old. Everybody else retired. He's leaving, looking for a country that he didn't know what it was. Last time I saw that old man, listen, he had a ranch 100 miles wide, 400 miles long, and now he's looking for a city. My God, I said he's looking for a city. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. No wonder he's a friend of God. I said no wonder he's a friend of God. He stayed on fire because he knew he didn't have it all. Oh, listen. They had to gain control of the media. Have control of your thinking. They put in that paper what they want you to read. Amen. They put on that newscast what they want you to hear. Yes, sir. I'd go to Vietnam as I'd do in most of the war. I'd be in Saigon all over that country, flew the helicopters, come back, gather up the paper, see what they wrote when I was gone. It's a blatant lie. Wasn't none of that stuff taking place over there like they said it was. I saw reporters out behind Tanzanud in a mock battle, and they put it on your screen here like this down in the war. I one from the New York Times was on an airplane with me. He said, drunk time we got to Saigon, had to pour him off the airplane. And I said, what are you going over there for? He said, I'm going over there to report on my life. I said, you know what you're going to say before you get there? You're going to bring an accusation against them boys for what happened there. I said, why don't you come over to the serviceman center with me? There'll be boys there from Charlie Company. Amen. They always come. You'll meet some of them. You'll come over. He wouldn't come. But you know, I was there one day. Before I met him, and this boy from Charlie Company was there, that company that may lie, that shot up all them old folks and everything, you know, they made such a deal out of it. I asked him, I said, man, did y'all really shoot them old women? He said, with a little invective, he said, sure did. I said, what the paper said true? Well, he said, did not tell you. Them old women are shooting at me. And he said, man, let me tell you, you're just as dead if you killed by an old Vietnamese woman as you are by a soldier. And when they shot at us, we shot at them. And he said, this is a war. You don't know who the enemy is. But they made you believe that the American was a savage. Amen. They printed in there what they want. They gain control of the media. They make you believe what they want you to believe. Amen. Because it can never destroy us till they control our thinking. Third, they had to destroy the unity of the United States by creating dissent in minority groups throughout the nation. Now, let me tell you what I want to clarify something. I believe that every human being ought to have the right of everybody else. I don't believe I'm any better than anybody, and I don't believe there's anybody any better than me. Amen. I live that way. My papa taught me that. But I'm going to tell you, those politicians are not trying to get us together. They want us divided. Amen. I get mad when they're bidding for a black vote and a white vote. Me and this brother may be voting the same way. I mean, here they want to get the women's vote, the poor folks' vote, and now they're trying to segregate that demon-possessed community of homosexuals, and they're bidding for his vote. America's divided into 1,000 different ways. The enemy knows if he can divide us, he will destroy us. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, we're all going to be the losers when this is destroyed. Say what you like. We'll all be the losers then. But he knew. Fourth, he had to create a movement to destroy religion in the United States. He did that with this humanistic philosophy that's made man his own God. I said, made man his own God. He's destroyed, watered down religion. There's very little. In Pentecost today, he has made the supernatural natural. He's made you and taught you that to believe God and be healed, all you had to do is quote a scripture and say, by stripes, I'm healed. He's told you all you had to do to have the Holy Ghost is let somebody teach you how to say 3 or 4 words in tongues. Amen. He's made the supernatural natural. That humanistic philosophy has watered it down to salvation. It's nothing more than a formula. You set bolt up right like a post and go through a little formula, and then he'll tell you you're saved, and nothing really happened in your heart. Amen. Nothing really happened. He's made the supernatural natural. That movement knew that we Pentecosters are never going to deny the supernatural, so he just makes them natural. He feigns miracles. He pretends gifts. He'll teach you how to dance. Amen. The whole thing is nothing but a taught Christ, taught tongue, taught gift, taught dance. Oh my God! May life flow again. He has succeeded. Fifth, he'll find the right kind of men, promote them to the highest office of State Department, and the success of the plan is history. The nation is torn by racial strife. The news media completely controls the thinking. The nation's money system firmly in the hands of the Federal Reserve System. And the atheistic mind has prevailed nationwide. Up there, there's those talk about God, but they're over to Dixon, the Witch of Endor, trying to find answers. Amen. They have found and promoted into office the ungodly homosexuals can be found blatantly in it. Though they're members of the Congress, they're not kicked out. They get home and thousands of people at the airport to cheer them. What am I saying? I'm telling you, the day of the beast only waits the beast of the system, the spirit. Amen. You're in a minority. Don't you ever forget it. Your mind bent toward Christ is in the minority this morning. And it's that minority that's given hell all the hell, folks. Amen. It's going to have to be removed before the wrath of God is poured out on that demon-possessed situation. To gain control of the mass communications and monetary system, the nation was kept in a continual state of emergency. Continual state of emergency. But I tell you, they have done it. With the world staggering, the mind of man weakening under the terrible onslaught, hell began to sense a victory. I said it began to sense a victory. He smelt blood. Thank God, with World War II, he knew that he had weakened the American spirit after the Depression. Hard on that Korea, 350,000 boys, wounded and killed. Amen. Then come the awful strife in our streets. If it wasn't a hippie, it was something else. Throwing garbage cans in the street. My God, the unwashed got in our street to burn our flag, wear it like a diaper. We began to be reduced, and we couldn't do anything about it. Washington had lost its will. We can't even enforce our law. Amen. We're afraid of the criminal. Men walk softly around what they're afraid of. That's the reason the church, when it comes alive, is the most feared thing this earth knows anything about. But oh, ladies and gentlemen, we watch the deterioration of the human spirit with the strife in our streets. Then Vietnam, and then the American spirit was broken, and it was ready, almost. It's for a one world government. Only one thing remains. That's World War III. And Ezekiel told about it. In the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the Gog of Russia will come down against the unwalled villages of Israel when she moved out into Afghanistan to consolidate the old Persian kingdom into her control, as Ezekiel said she would. Already, Germany divided, so part of Gomer was with it. It's allied. The war that comes, this is the only war that a man of God could stand on a platform and say to you, when it breaks out, it will be the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, because the nations are already aligned. The objectives are already there. When that war breaks out, it will be Ezekiel's war. World War number 3. It'll be a holocaust. A third of all green things to be burned up. A third of the water destroyed. A fourth of mankind killed. When it's over, out of the rubble, there'll appear the Antichrist with an answer for the moment for mankind. And those that are left here will accept it. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that before that can take place, the rapture, before that war can proceed too far, or maybe start, there has to be a removal of the church, because the Antichrist cannot be revealed until that which hinders him. It's the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ that's hindering hell right now. It has to be removed. It has to be removed before that man of sin can be revealed. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you, that war could break out this morning. Lebanon is a tinderbox. We've got Marines there. French have people there. When Israel went in to Lebanon, you don't see this in the news, but it's a recorded fact. They found miles of concrete tunnels under the hills of southern Lebanon. Whole fleets of Russian helicopters and guns, enough to supply an army of between 500,000 and 1,000,000. Amen. They had found plans to invade Israel. The Warsaw Pact nations and all the allies of the Arab world to invade Israel August the 4th, 1982. That would have been the moment, the signal for God to break the back of the Russian bear. 5 out of 6 will die there. Well, it wasn't time. He'll not move till it's God's time. But I'm telling you, the clock is a ticking. Tick, tick, tick. The countdown. Not just for World War III, but for me getting out of here. Oh, I tell you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I've got leaving. Oh, my mind. Yes, sir. Oh, this old house needs a lot of repairs. But I'm not stopping to repair it. I got leaving on my mind. I said leaving on my mind. As a beast. As a beast waiting in the wings, ready to take it over. But he can't take it over till we're gone. So God says, redeem the time. Keep your mind open. I want to close telling you, I know the rapture will come in a moment, twinkle of an eye. But it's been taking place in me for 34 years. When I was born again, as a spirit come in me that wants to go back to God. That's the reason you see me jump sometime. That spirit, like a Mexican jumping bean. It's a jumping. It wants to go back. Well, one of these days, and it may be this morning, we're going to jump, and we ain't coming back this way. Oh, let's stand and worship God. Let's stand and worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say that? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands. Let's worship God.